Welcome to the American Football Show, powered by EP Sports. EP Sports is a top supplier in the UK for all your American football needs, helping players and coaches reach their potential since 2007. Check them out at epsports.co.uk. And today we have the full gang back for our first kind of regular podcast in a fair while. And so we're going to talk over some of the news around the league. We've got a guest joining us towards the end of the pod. Look forward to speaking to him about his journey of football in the UK and the US. But first, I'd say biggest news in the past couple of weeks only came the other day. All-pro Julio Jones from the Falcons has been traded to the Tennessee Titans for a second and a fourth round pick. Joe, does this make the Titans having the most formidable wide receiver combo with AJ, AJ Brown and Julio Jones?
I still think Mike Evans and Chris Godwin are the best, but I think they're up there. They're definitely not top three, you would say. It makes them a big powerhouse in AFC. They've improved their team, their defense, which was their problem. They seem to have improved over the offseason, and now they've got all these weapons. Craig said beforehand that he doesn't think it's going to change their game plan at all. But I think the problem is now is it's going to make defenses think about, you know, you've got three absolute studs on that pitch and you've got a very, a top 10 quarterback as well. There's a lot of things for defenses to think about now, and it could really cause problems around the AFC especially.
Yeah, definitely. Because, yeah, like Craig said, they do put 70% of their stuff through Derrick Henry, but there's obviously he gets harder to tackle as you go on because he just keeps getting stronger and you keep getting more tired. It's like, now what's also going to affect it is you can't stack the box. You can't just double team AJ Brown because you've got Julio opposite him. And I don't even know if Julio is better than AJ right now, because he's on the wrong side of 30. He's injury prone to some degree. AJ Brown, I think, has done amazingly coming out in the Titans. He's been playing better and better each year. But I think if you look at the box, like you said, with the Evans and Godwin, they've got Wahoo Fournette and someone else in their backfield. I'd much rather take Derrick Henry over that.
Oh, yeah. I think if you're looking at an offense in total, then yes, I would definitely take the Titans. But it's going to be interesting. It's going to be interesting to see how it works out.
Do we think the Colts have got... Did the Colts always have the first place in that division, or was it always between them two? Or do the Titans have a much better chance now?
I think their chances have shot right up. For me, it was the Colts. Not by far, but I thought they were just the more competent, all-rounded team. But now the Titans, for me, when you add a superstar of that level, I know you said he's sort of on the wrong end of the ages, but he's still a world-class player. I think he just shoots them right up that ladder, and they may potentially be the favourites now.
It's interesting, though, seeing first DeAndre Hopkins go for a second rounder, now Julio Jones gone for a second and a fourth. I mean, you'd still put them in the top five receivers in the game. Most people would, at least. And the capital return just does not seem to be there. I mean, I know the Ravens have been looking for a wide receiver, and you think they're just going... And I get that Julio Jones has got a whatever million-pound contract and he's got a dodgy hamstring and that. But, I mean, if it's going for that, I'm surprised more people aren't just taking those star wide receivers at that price.
I'm saying for a second round pick, pretty much. I thought we'd have gone for it, but now see what happens. I'm not looking forward to playing them if we do come across them.
Oh, those games are going to get even more brutal.
I think people are putting too much emphasis on the money side of things for signing as well, because the salary cap's going to be much bigger next year as well. So all you have to do is backload the contract, just pay them a small amount this year, get within the cap. And I think they've restructured Tannehill's contract to free up some cap space anyway. So, you know, why not? If you're just going to give up a second round pick and a fourth round pick or whatever it was, why not?
Yeah, and I don't think his contract was actually too high compared to other wide receivers, when you look in the grand scheme of things. So it did work out quite nicely. I think the Titans have got a massive steal there. Even if it's just for the 1 year, you know, even if it's just a trial and error thing, they've still taken it on and it's not going to hit them too hard.
That being said, both the Colts and the Titans have just lost their offensive coordinator from last year. Colts also lost... we've taken about five of their coaches, in all honesty, but they took Frank Reich from us 4 years ago.
And on the spin side as well, Adam, they have, the Falcons fans, it's been quite interesting to see what well, their sort of point of view is, I've seen a lot of fans going at each other. You've got some people wishing him well, some people wishing him that he, you know, that he doesn't have a good time down in Tennessee. But I don't know. I think Falcons fans, an interesting one. Are you happy to see him go? You can't be happy to see Julio Jones go, but a sort of bit of drama he was creating towards the end. It's one of those tough ones where, is it just nice to get a bit of a head start? I mean, their wide receiver core is pretty solid regardless. I'm just intrigued to sort of know what their main feeling is.
He's been there a long time. He's given them a lot. I don't, even though, yeah, it was a bit of an acrimonious ending, but they went to a Super Bowl with him. So he's given everything to that city. So it shouldn't really be that much hard feelings towards him.
I mean, from like a business point of view, I think it makes total sense, because not only is the wide receiver behind him a bona fide wide receiver one, like, what's his name? Calvin Ridley's not going to have a problem taking on his loads. He's already done that a lot because Julio's not seen all the field all the time. I completely forgot what I was going to go with that then. Yeah, and so from a business, if you're getting a second and a fourth back and win a team that you're not necessarily rebuilding, but you do need that extra capital to get over the likes of the Bucks and the Saints, you probably aren't going to be that good anymore. I mean, like, it makes sense that the top like comment I saw was, don't cry because he's gone, smile because it happened. Because yeah. I think, yeah, you've had what, like Tim said, you've had so many years of this amazing all-pro wide receiver. You've replaced him with someone better. You've got some capital back from it. And end of the day, you're going to have, like, I've got a Julio Jones at the Falcons jersey. The people with them, they're going to savor them because he's going to probably go into the Falcons Hall of Fame.
Definitely.
I mean, moving away from that, the only other real big news that's been reeling about is, of course, going back to Aaron Rodgers, who still is not happy with the Packers.
How much has this changed? Because is it training camp that he said he's not going to turn up to?
Yeah.
It's quite big, to be fair. When you're getting all these rookies and all these new players, you kind of need your quarterback around to get a feel to how your season's going to go. But it could just be another stance for him to, I don't know, just try and win some more power.
I think he's starting to get fined now, missing practices, rather than just not going.
I think mandatory camp started now.
Mm-hmm. Haven't they done it like the front office can choose to fine, and I don't think they are planning on fining him, obviously, to keep them on the right side. I could be wrong there, though. But, I mean, whatever weeks ago, we all went over what we think is going to happen. I was the only one who thought he's going to leave the Packers by the first game. Anyone's mind changed?
No, I still don't think he'll leave, but he's only hurting his own season in the long run.
I don't know. I'm close to jumping ship, Adam, but I'm going to stay where I am.
Come on over the gates, wide open.
Just for now, I'm going to stay on the Rodgers and Packers.
Can I stay in with him staying at the Packers, but moving ever so slightly over? There's too many rumors about the Denver Broncos, and they desperately want a quarterback.
He's going to come with such a hefty price tag.
Oh God, yeah.
But it's just so interesting because, like, it seems like everyone's like, yeah, he's just bluffing. Like, of course he's going to play. He's going to not play, or he won't play. He won't get his money. But then you think, like, in an ideal world, does he need to play? He's obviously made all these millions. Like, is the power? Who's got the power? Who's really kind of got the leverage there? And it's still a bit of an unknown.
Trying not to read too much into it. Like, I remember for 1 week the news was that slow. All I got was his holiday snaps. And like, I don't really want to see him on holiday just chilling with his missus topless by some waterfall. Like, I'm not interested. Like, it must be a really slow week if that's what's making news.
But it does sound like it's literally him against the general manager. Like, the Green Bay doesn't technically have an owner. And he said he's got no problem with the team and he's got no problem with the players. It's just this general manager whose name I can never pronounce. I'm not even going to try. Just get rid of the general manager then. Like, who's more important to Green Bay Packers history? Aaron Rodgers or Mr. So-and-so, whatever his name is?
Yeah, but if your general manager's good and Aaron Rodgers is what? How old is he now? Like 37, 38?
Yeah.
Like, he's debatably, he could pull a Peyton Manning and obviously to take his final few years somewhere else, which is likely to happen. But obviously he's still probably, you could say he's still in the twilight of his prime. Like, do you want to keep that for two more years over a general manager?
But it's the general manager that drafted Jordan Love and then a cornerback in the first round of the draft instead of getting him more weapons and keeping his all-pro quarterback happy.
I heard Jordan Love's not been having a great time at training camp either.
Yeah, I've heard a few descriptions of some of his passes.
So do you think he goes off somewhere sunny, just enjoys his last few years?
I mean, he's a Cali boy, isn't he? Like, he has like vocally said he'd love to play in California.
Yeah, 49ers fan, isn't he?
Yeah, but they just picked up Trey Lance then.
Yeah, that was their chance, really, wasn't it? The Broncos are the only real sort of suitors. And but could you imagine him throwing to Judy and Sutton? Like, that would actually be quite exciting to watch. I don't like the Broncos.
He's so wasted right now.
But I don't know. It could be exciting, but yeah, as long as he doesn't go to an annoying team, then it's all right.
It'd be such a shame to break him and Adams up, I think.
In recent history, are the Broncos the worst team for drafting quarterbacks?
Yes.
Yeah.
By far.
Gotta be. I mean, if
this is a topic Tim's quite passionate about, I know.
I mean, who would be the contenders? You've got the Browns if they didn't pick Baker Mayfield, because what, DeShone Kizer and Johnny Manziel?
Money Manziel, hero. I'm trying to think, who else?
Eagles are a QB factory, as we all know. I think we just released the undrafted quarterback we picked up.
Bears?
Jets haven't been so good.
Bears are historically cursed. Yeah. Though, like, when Jay Cutler's your history's best quarterback. Yeah, I think definitely recently Broncos. Since Peyton left, they've just had a shocking run.
Yeah.
How many first rounds have they piled into quarterbacks? I feel like, was Paxton Lynch first
round? Paxton Lynch was a first, I think.
Was Brock Osweiler? Or they traded?
Osweiler might have been a second. But they were both terrible, so it doesn't really matter.
Okay, so Joe, I believe there's been a couple of jersey number changes that you're excited about.
Excited is a strong word. It's just there's not much news, and you know, when number changes become news, that's really how slow it is. But no, it's just interesting. You know, we've not seen it in the NFL, and just seeing some of the players, I've got like a big list. Like, you got a lot of the rookies going in those single digit numbers. Obviously, you've got Kyle Pitts taking number 8 there. You've got some other interesting ones like Patrick Queen, Craig mentioned earlier. He's gone to number 6. Hollywood Brown's gone to 5. Robert Woods has gone to 2. Darius Slay's gone to 2 as well. That'll be...
Is Kyle Pitts a number change if he's a rookie?
I think seeing him, seeing him as a tight end in a number 8, I think would be quite cool. Like, but I think seeing a linebacker in a single digit number, it's just going to be so weird.
Yeah. Judon's gone number 9, and I don't like that.
I like it. I really rate single digits.
It's going to look like I'm watching like a Liverpool game or something. Who's their number 11? Yeah, it's going to be mad.
I think it's going to be more noticeable though. For I know you mentioned how when you're doing your scouting and looking at things, it might be difficult because you know what the certain number ranges are. Yeah. But when you know a player is a certain number, like when you got a load of 50 somethings, sometimes it isn't too easy for the new fans. However, if you are single digits, I think it's more noticeable for those players to stand out.
One thing I remember, PFF, when you're grading players, they always say, don't look at the numbers, because numbers actually look really similar when you're watching a game. Pick out shoes, pick out armbands or something like that to spot a player rather than the numbers.
Yeah.
So from that point of view, I don't think the number changes are going to make that much difference.
Pick them up by his swag. I know for me, when I used to play on film, I was stuck out with the tattoo on my leg.
I like DeShone Jackson going to number 1. I think the number 1 just looks good on any fast player.
Yeah, I'll tell you that. I'm just looking forward to sort of the branding that comes into play. You know, we've had CR7 in football. Who's it? TB12 is another one, but like, it'd be quite interesting. I think saying, like, you know, Antonio was AB84, that's just a bit long-winded. I think there'll be a lot more of these players trying to brand themselves with the numbers.
Yeah. You can see a rush of guys wanting to get, like, number 1.
But, I mean, it's pretty much exclusively been people trying to get their, like, college or high school number, or like their dad's number or something like that. Other news, which affects the international crowd, Real Madrid have at least put their foot in the door to try and get an international game coming on over. I know you guys have some opinions about them, so.
Real Madrid. They're not massive. That, I mean, they've got links with the Spanish government, which is why they're very favoured in Spain. But, well, just to Madrid fans, really. But they're just a very money-orientated thing. This is just, rather than bringing it to the Spanish fans, when it comes to Real Madrid, it's going to be for money. And that's the main reason that they're going to have it over. I think it's fantastic for the Spanish fans. Don't get me wrong, that they're going to be able to see NFL in their country. But I don't know, just because it's Real Madrid, it just has a bit of a bad tie to it.
And I think it'll take a long time for them to get the game, because these things take... Look at Germany. Mm. They're only now, after talking about having the game in Germany, now taking bids from cities to put together proposals to hold games.
It's looking likely. It's confirmed, isn't it? In the way they're going to be doing it.
I thought it already was, but now it seems to be they're taking proposals, and so they've not.
I thought Munich confirmed.
Munich would have been the one. I thought.
Mm. I mean, it's just more opportunities for kind of cross sport marketing. Like when they all went to the new Tottenham grounds, it was all like the Zach Ertz and I think it was Harry Kane like did some it. Like all the obviously Harry Kane's a huge NFL fan, but yeah, it's just going to be another case of getting each athlete to kind of advertise the other sport to each other.
Yeah.
Anyone else wondering when they're going to release the tickets for the international series games?
I'm nervous about it.
Yeah.
Do you think they're waiting to see what happens with COVID?
Mm-hmm. Definitely. I think that's
why they're not selling tickets yet.
Yeah, I think they're going to wait a few weeks into July at least.
Because I'm guessing at the moment, they don't know how many tickets they can sell. No, exactly. So they don't want to sell, 60,000 tickets or whatever Tottenham holds, and then have to give 40,000 refunds when they're only allowed 20,000 in. But it's creeping. I know it's only June, but it's creeping closer and closer. Because everyone's got to make plans. I know this is a really selfish way of looking at it, but I've got to book hotels, I've got to book flights. Pretty much everyone has to if they want to get to a game.
I mean, even more selfishly, I've got season tickets. Am I going to be able to use them or not?
Yeah. How many season tickets have been sold?
More than the capacity of Tottenham.
Really?
I've got season tickets. I didn't get any seats for Tottenham games.
How have they... What?
Is it because Wembley was 90 and now Spurs is... they're 61 because they went 1,000 more than Arsenal.
There were different tickets. Like if you had Wembley season tickets, you had to apply for Hotspur tickets as well.
Oh, is that right? I thought.
Wembley tickets did not carry on over because I did have Wembley ones as well. But now that that's being cancelled, they've gone to sod. There you go. And finally, to wrap up some of the news, we've got some injuries. Not many, to be honest, but Kyle Long fractured his kneecap, so he's not going to be helping the Chiefs out for a while. 49ers are having their usual spring of bad luck, and I think they've had an offensive tackle do their ACL and a wide receiver do their Achilles.
I think they need to look at either their training facility or their trainer. Yeah. To have that many injuries and for it to still continue now, like it makes you question, is it the field they're playing on? Is it the workout they're doing? Is it, there must be...
Too many for luck.
They've got to reevaluate and just look at stuff. Maybe it's the way they rehab and stuff. It's not, they could be doing that better. I don't know. I don't know what
the regime is. Should have checked their medical staff previous references from the Chargers.
Yeah.
Hunter Henry, who I know he's been prone in the past, but he's apparently hurt his lower leg as well. So something to keep an eye on.
Yeah.
But other than that, really, we got anything else you lads want to talk about?
Just want to promote the EFL videos we've been doing. They've been doing really well. Very good. Check all those out. There's quite a few of them. I can't remember all the names right now, but we've got a whole series of them on our YouTube channel.
Yeah, absolutely. They are really good. And Craig's been getting better and better at editing them. So thank you very much, Craig.
Yeah, again. Well done, Craig.
But with that, we will now move on to our interview that we have. It's with Samuel Oram-Jones, who's a running back for USC. And we will let the tech fairies put that in right here. Today, we have special guests joining us from California. We are delighted to welcome Samuel Oram-Jones, or OJ, running back for USC. Hi, Samuel. OJ, how are you doing? How's your work?
I'm not doing bad yourself. I literally just got out of lift like 20 minutes ago. Just got back here. So I'm doing fantastic today.
Good stuff. So, I mean, just for the listeners at home, you have like one of the most interesting backstories of anyone we've really had on the podcast. Do you want to kind of tell us about everything?
Just overall?
Yeah, just tell us about yourself and kind of we'll get into.
Yeah, I can do that. So I'm from the UK. I'm from Milton Keynes, nice area in the middle of the country. Spent a lot of time in Essex also. When I was really young, I was a racing driver. And I've done that for a lot of my life till I was 18. So I was on like the McLaren Driver Academy and stuff like that. Had quite a few teammates that are now in F1. I used to drive for Intrepid. So I was with like Charles Leclerc, Max Verstappen, George, Alex Albon.
Whoa.
Lando was there too.
That's cool. That's very cool.
Name dropping.
Yeah.
You got her.
Have to. When I was 18, I had to give that up to go get educated at university. And I stopped racing. So I started playing another sport, which is American football, at Durham Uni. So I went there. I got taken under the wing of a couple guys like John Taggart, who played at Lincoln University, and Saitu Smith, who played at Harvard. He's now at the Browns. And they kind of showed me the game. In my second year, I was rotating and starting some of the games with the US Scholars, and we won a national championship at Durham for BAFA, so like the collegiate championship in the UK. And I went out to Ohio, and I did this camp in Ohio. It's like a Pro Hall of Fame international camp. And I had a couple of interests from universities out there in like Division I AA. And the guys there spoke to me and said, you know, you should really be playing Division I football. Like, there's a space for you in Division I football somewhere. So I decided, you know, I'll go back to uni, finish my degree as quickly as possible. I got that done in the next 6 months, graduated from Durham. 2 weeks later, I'm on a flight to Tennessee to attend Vanderbilt for my master's to go and try and walk onto the team. It turns out it's not so easy traveling from the UK to the US. Like, I don't really want to hear it in college there. You know, you didn't play in high school. They don't really care. They don't want to hear it. So there's this whole elaborate story of how I, and I can go into it in a bit if you guys like, how I walked onto Vanderbilt. But I walked onto Vanderbilt, played there for a season. After that, in the spring of 2020, when COVID happened, I went down to train with the pros in South Florida. So I spent a lot of time over the last year with like Frank Gore. He's been my mentor at running back over the last 12 months. And he showed me a lot about the game. And I feel I've really grown with him as my mentor. I spent a lot of time with him as well this past few months. During that time, I decided to transfer. I ended up at USC. It was going to really be between a USC and the University of Florida, were the two main teams I was speaking to. Decided to go with USC, and I'm here now in LA. I was doing well last season, went through full camp, had a really good full camp. I was really unfortunate. Game week one, we're running inside zone drills, and I just get rolled up on. I look down, and like my foot is just facing the wrong way, and I'm like, that's not good at all. So I have emergency surgery. They get me in, get me out. And I travel back to Florida to go train with the pros to make sure that my rehab was as quick as possible, because these injuries can sometimes take up to a year or over a year to heal. I needed to be back in 4 months so that I'm ready to go for summer camp, which I now am. I'm full cleared. I'm full go. So I'm ready to go get at it after it this year at USC.
Great stuff. Good.
That's an overview of what's going on for me.
We do have a resident Vanderbilt fan in the house as well.
No way. What? Who?
Joe?
No, I'm Rutgers.
Down, Joe. Oh, I thought you said Vanderbilt, not nah. Rutgers.
Adam's throwing me in there. I've now got to say that I'm not a fan.
We're all Vanderbilt fans at heart.
We are, that's true.
So after playing at Durham, obviously playing in the UK, you know, myself and Adam, we played a little bit of a uni ball. I'm coaching there at the moment.
Oh, where'd you play?
Liverpool, John Moores.
Yo, let's go! I like that. You're in the 1A North or something like that.
That was the one, yeah. What were the big differences from playing at the college level, I guess, in the UK to the college level over in the States? Yeah.
Okay, yeah. So the main thing I thought when I transitioned from the UK to the US, everything was going to be way faster, et cetera, et cetera. Everyone's like, oh, it's going to be way faster, da, 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 da. But in UK uni ball, a lot of the big boys that come over are scholars anyway. I played at Durham. We had a load of NCAA scholars. A lot of people don't like Durham because they have so many NCAA scholars. Sterling is basically just Team Europe and Team GB. So all the Bulgarians and the Spaniards and all that play for them. Derby had a lot of scholars. Nottingham now has a lot of scholars. Like, all these NCAA players run out of eligibility in the US, come over and play in the UK. all the big boys are all NCAA guys. So I didn't really see a huge difference when I moved from the UK to the US. All the big boys, the line stayed the same. The holes open up in the same way. The D-line will move in the same way. If you're faster than them in the UK, you'll probably be faster than in the US. Same deal. But the skill guys are way faster here. The speed guys are just different level. I'd not seen it before.
And have you always played running back?
I've always played running back. So like when I was at Durham, I played running back pretty much the whole time. I've done some stuff at receiver there and punt returner and kick returner. I played a game at DNs against Sterling.
Yeah.
Sack. That's it. I'll take it. I don't know how it happened, but I had one sack on my resume in the UK and I'll take it. But yeah, I played running back the whole time. And I was really lucky when I went to Vanderbilt. I got to be one of the best running backs in the SEC. A guy called Keyshawn Vaughn, he's now at the Bucks. He went fourth round. And so I got to see like where his speed is and what it really looks like to be a good running back at the collegiate level. And then I moved over to USC now. They've got a staple of running backs here, all likely going to play in the NFL when they get done. They've got a new guy, Keontae Ingram, came from Texas this year as well. And he's a dog, which is cool. But yeah, the skill position speed was really what I noticed was very different. These boys are fast.
So you mentioned Keontae Ingram there. I'll just jump in. A friend of the show, Ollie Hodgson, who works for Pro Football Network, he's asked me to ask you, what's it been like learning from Keontae?
Keontae's cool, man. I've only been there with a few days with him, but he's cool. He's one of the leaders in the running back room. Vavai Malapai is also one of the leaders in the running back room, and he's also a dog. The likelihood is that those two individuals will battle out for the starting role this year. Usually, USC runs running back by committee. So like three or four running backs will be in the rotation. We don't know what they're going to do with that this year. The coach makes the call and that's up to Coach Jinks. And he's a very intelligent man. He's done a lot in the football world. So he's going to make that decision. But both Keontae and Vaya leaders in the room, they're both very vocal. They like to lead by example from the front, which is good. They like to take the reps first so that everyone else can see what they're doing. They like to be loud on other guys if they're doing something wrong, but helpful. It's all constructive criticism. They're not bad guys in that regard. And I like them. I like them both.
And so, I mean, USC's first game isn't until September. With the kind of whole off-season schedule, what does it look like for you? What does your day look like?
We're in summer camp right now, so... yesterday was quite long. We got lifting, or Tuesday was quite long. We got lift in the morning. We come back. We have team meeting. We have special teams meetings. Then we have we had team run, which goes on for like 40 minutes, and it's tough. We got this huge warm up, and then the coaches are just running us down the field. You got 2 minutes to do like 500 yards minimum. You don't get that, you're in trouble. So the condition is serious, but the new strength staff just came from Notre Dame and they were at Ohio State before, so they're a real strength staff. Coach Steiner, I really like what they're doing. Once we get done with that, we're in position specific drills, and then we have player run practice where we'll go out, play 7-on-7, then 11-on-11, no pads or anything of the sort. We're not hitting each other, but we're all running routes. Everyone's getting their drops. The guys on the line look like they're just playing normally, just without pads. I think they were supposed to not be hitting each other, but they definitely are. They don't really care. When we run plays, the holes are opening up as they should, which is cool. And then you get done with that, and then you got class. I'm in grad school, so I finished all of that yesterday. I think I got up at 7, 8. We get the lift in between 8:45. You get done at like 10:15. You go home, you have a few hours to yourself, you get back 3 p.m., you leave at 6, and I have class from 6 till 10, then go to sleep, do the whole thing again. Which is, I like it though. When I was in Durham and like playing UK Uni Ball, you only have a certain amount of time on the field only a certain opportunity to get your reps. And the one thing I thought to myself when I was in the UK, I was like, I watched how the Americans train in their full camp, and I used to watch the videos of like Ohio State. They used to have a channel called like Scarlet and Gray Days or something. They used to go and show what their stuff was like in full camp. I was like, I wish we would train every day like that. Like we would be so crazy. Like the talent in uni ball for me is incredible. There's a lot of guys that can play football. And if they had the time every day to go and play, and I think a lot of guys would voluntarily go and do that, the level of football in the UK would be very, very high.
Absolutely, yeah. I mean, at uni, we train like what, Tuesdays, Thursdays, play
Tuesdays, Thursdays.
Yeah. Like do two a days on a Sunday.
Yeah. We used to, Durham University, we used to do Sunday morning, and we was on the grass, and this is in the north. Some of you guys are from the north.
Yeah.
This is raining. You're slipping over. We had 2 hours, 10:30 till 12:30, and that was just voluntary. Like, people just turn up, and then during the week, it was Tuesday night. I think we had like 1 hour of lift, 1 hour of run, and then team meeting. Wednesday was just a lift. Thursday was the same thing, run and lift. And then Friday we had nothing, and then Saturday we're playing. So like you have a limit, very limited time on the field to get everything right. Rain or shine. I remember at Durham, so it was snow. We were so far in the north. You're out there. You're like, yo, this is cold. You got a visor on, you can't see anything.
Places.
No. It was cold. But you have such limited time on the field, you gotta get it done. And then here it's just completely flipped.
Yeah.
You got so much time.
Yeah, OJ, like, look into the future as well, mate. I mean, after US, I mean, what's your plan? What's the ideal scenario from you going from college on?
The ideal scenario for me, I would like to play professionally next year. There's a lot of guys that I played beside in the UK. That are playing professionally, be it in Europe or in Canada or in the US. I feel that the level I play at current, or the level of athleticism I have, should see me go and play pro. I could definitely be in a practice squad, in my opinion. I spent a lot of time with NFL guys both this offseason and last offseason, and they treat me like one of their own when I'm with them, training with them, and I feel that I can continue that going forward. There is a program which is run by the NFL called the NFL International Program. Now, I know that they select people internally. There's no formal way of trying to be selected, but I've had a conversation with those guys, and I hope that moves forward in a good way. If it does, I think I'll be a fantastic candidate for them moving forward. I already have a lot of relationships with players in the NFL, and I don't know if that will give you a shoe up with coaches, but I can only hope so. But there's a lot of guys I play in the UK I know very well. David Isignon is now in Canada playing. We went to the same high school, weirdly.
That's cool.
We were in the same secondary school, in Milne Keynes, and then I didn't see him, and then one day he's playing in Nottingham, and then I played him. Anyway, now he's in the CFL. There's a good guy at Sterling called Emmanuel Adebayo. He's in Germany right now playing. I think he's in Hamburg or Stuttgart or something like that. So I played against a lot of guys in the UK, I played against both the guys that were selected to the NFL International Program this year in the UK. And they got their chance. They went over to Florida and Gainesville. I think one of them's called Io. Played at Nottingham. They both played in the UK. They've been selected to the international program. Now they're playing professionally. And then I've, in my opinion, played against them in the UK, then made the transition to the US on my own. No help, no aid. No one's out here. Ah, look at this guy. He's going to be great for you. Go take him. No, none of that. None of the international like companies helped me out or put me in front of any coaches or anything of the sort.
So while we're talking about the UK and the game in the UK, is what do you think about the state of the game in the UK at the moment? And do you think enough's being done to help players like yourself and some of the guys who you've just mentioned there?
I think that the idea is correct. I know that the NFL Academy is taking guys when they're younger at a high school age and trying to put them in front of coaches in the US. And I think that is incredibly helpful. So coming to the US and seeing how coaches treat players that have played in high school, you have to play high school football. The coaches, for some reason in the US, win a national championship in the UK at the age of 19 against guys that are like 28 years old is somehow less impressive than playing in like the third division in Wisconsin against a bunch of 15-year-olds. So anything you can do to get a US high school-like game tape, which is what the NFL Academy kind of is doing, or sending their guys over there, for me, is the going to be the make or break of sending kids from the UK to the US to play. In terms of uni ball, it's tough. I mean, coaches didn't really care what I had done in the UK at university until I was able to show it here on the ground, and they just tried me out. And even that was a struggle to make happen. But I guess to answer your question, from a uni ball perspective, no, absolutely not. I don't know what can be done. I think the answer to that will have to be came about by people far more intelligent than myself to how to get kids that are playing university ball in the UK over to the US. And there's certainly a number that can. That's the first thing I thought when I came to the US, was like, there's a bunch of guys in the UK that can play here. For sure. and I've only been in the Power Five. You're playing Group of Five or Division One AA. Oh, there's loads of guys in the UK that could play in the US on scholarship, for sure. Like, there is no doubt in my mind. I had several teammates that I've brought
out. Really, good grassroots stuff coming.
What were you saying, sorry, Adam? My bad.
I was just saying, yeah, I think the criticism of Baffer's pretty fair. But yeah, the grassroots stuff like the NFL Academy and stuff like that's exactly what we need to get more people going.
I agree. I know that there's some agencies that work in Europe that will throw guys across the US and take them on tours and camps for the summer, which is good. You get yourself in front of coaches there, and coaches can see that, okay, even though this guy's from Europe, he's clearly performing at a level which is the same as the guys here in the US. I know there's a company, I think, called PPI Recruits or something else. So I might be wrong on that. But I think that's what they're called, that do that with a few guys. And they've had a bunch of guys get offers, Australians and other European players get offers, which is good. Anything that BAFA could do or the NFL Academy could do or any kind of grassroots organization in the UK could do to get people on the ground in the US, for me, is the best way to move forward. And that's not a criticism of what they're doing currently. I think as the game gets more popular, I think that's something they will do.
We're taking this all in because we're actually speaking to Pete, the head of BAFA, next week, so we're going to tell him all this.
Oh, fantastic. Let him know.
Exactly. I think I've heard you say before as well in another interview that part of your problem was that you didn't have enough game tape. There's only certain teams film the games.
Yeah, only certain teams film the games. I remember this. So I had to throw tape together from what I had. Some teams will tape games, but they don't share it with other teams.
Yeah.
And some teams take games on like a phone and you can't see anything. Yeah. Like, yeah. I have all these touchdowns and all these yards in the UK and I have just nothing to show for it at all.
We have the same issue coaching when it comes to playing some teams. Yeah. Some teams don't tape games, some teams don't want to share film. So it's tough to prep
I'll
and stuff.
Share my film with you if you share yours with me, et cetera, or if you share this film with me. It's tough. And that was in the Premiership in BAFA. I don't even know what it's like when you go to 1A or 1B, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah, I mean,
game tape was a huge issue because it's the first thing that coaches ask you when they're here. Coaches are like, oh, okay, cool. Let me see a game tape. Let me see a tape. And then if it's not made up of all of your best stuff because you can't get hold of it, then you're screwed. I think I've strung mine together in the UK, I think, with like 7 games. Just 7 random, like not even particularly my best game, just 7 random games that I had access to. So I remember having all these games. I remember my first game I scored like touchdowns. I think I scored 2 against Derby. And I went, I had like 140 yards. Oh, this is a great game. Can I have a tape? No. Not at all. And I was like, that sucks. Can't do anything about it.
So I've got another question for you from someone that I think you might... I've got another question from somebody I think you might know. Jonathan Rooney.
Yeah, Coach Rooney.
Yeah, Coach Rooney's got a question for you. I don't know if you're aware of this. He's asked me to tell you this. He's actually working on setting up a professional league, or semi-professional league in the UK, UKFL. Correct. And I don't know whether this is a question or a pitch to you, really. He said, is that something you'd consider doing in the future? Would you consider playing professionally in the UK?
Absolutely. If there's a league in the United Kingdom, I feel I'd be a great ambassador for that. I've played in the UK and I've played in the US. If there's a professional league in the UK and people want to see guys play, I think I'd be a great guy for that. And I'd be more than happy to play in the United Kingdom as a professional athlete. I think for sure there's several opportunities which I would like to explore playing professional football. And if that's one of them that's on offer, I'd definitely like to take that into consideration. But I've spoken to Coach Rooney about it. I'm very excited for it. I'm very excited. I've seen the videos he's put up about it and stuff. I think it'd be fantastic. I also think he's a great guy for the role that he's in.
Mm-hmm. You mentioned him on the pod.
I've had several head coaches that are very well renowned, and for me, like, there's been no coach that has spent as much time on me as a coach as Coach Rooney has as a head coach. Nowhere near. Like, he still keeps in contact with me till today, and it's been a couple years a couple seasons. Since I left them. So he's a fantastic guy for the job there.
So you mentioned before about working with the ageless wonder, Frank Gore. How was that?
Oh, Frank is cool, man. I love Frank. He's my guy. So I was really lucky. I went to train at Bomberios last year. Bomberios Performance Systems is some guys go there for their pro day preparation. A lot of vets go there to train in the off-season. There's a bunch of guys that, that train in a very small space in South Florida around Davie, Fort Lauderdale, in Miami. I guess that's where the rich and famous like to live, like to spend their time. I don't know. A lot of them come from there anyway. But I was lucky. So I got into the NFL groups there, and I remember turning up to training first day, and I looked to my right, and it's the running back group, and it's like me, Devin Singletary, or we call him Moa. He plays in Buffalo. Frank, LaShawn McCoy, Shady, Dante Moncrief plays wide receiver, used to play for the Colts, Jets, I think he's with the Texans this year. All these guys, and they're really cool. Like, they take you right under their wing, so long as you just turn up and work. Like, I've seen a lot of people like be around them and, oh yeah, let me get this picture with you, let me do that for clout kind of thing. And I think that being vets, they see through that kind of thing. If you're there to work, they recognize that. And I was really lucky that Frank recognized that in me. I think he thinks I'm a hard worker, and I got to spend a lot of time with him last season doing a lot of one-on-one work, especially after we got done training with the normal schedule, we'd go and run together. And it was the same again this year. I'm incredibly lucky. I think he looks great. I hope he plays this season. I hope a team that's going to go to the Super Bowl calls him up, because he's ready to go. People think because of his age, he can't. He's ready to go.
How have you found playing in the heat compared to playing in England?
See, okay, so you get used to it very quickly. I like training in Florida because South Florida is so humid and so hot that, like, when you leave, go anywhere else, it's easy. So easy. If anything, playing in the cold is tough, especially as a running back or a QB or a receiver, because you can't feel your hands. So when the QB is throwing a ball at you at 50 miles an hour, hits your hand, you're like, shake it off afterwards. It's so painful. Playing in the cold in Durham might have been tougher than playing in the heat. You get used to the heat. Your body has no choice but to adapt. But the cold, that will still hurt every time. I way prefer here than playing in Durham. Temperature-wise.
Yeah.
Temperature-wise. This is beautiful.
Speaking of Frank Gore, like, I'm looking at the NFL, looking at players and maybe coaches. Is there any players you kind of trying your basic game off? Is there any like role models that you look towards and stuff like that?
Some of my favorite players, yeah. So Frank is one of my favorite players. I love the way he runs the ball. He's like an old school runner, like hard nose. He's leaning forward every time. When he was at the Falcons, I really like Deontay Freeman. He had a great Super Bowl with the Falcons. Yeah. He was unfortunate to lose that. But he's kind of my size. He's like 5'7", 205 weight. Devin Singletary is another one that's very close to me. One of my personal favorites, I just like the way he runs around, is Mark Ingram.
Hey.
He's a trust.
I love
Mark Ingram, bro. I feel he brings a lot of energy to the field.
Yeah.
And a lot of energy to the team. So even if he's not on the field, I think he contributes in a big way. And I brought that over to myself here to the US in every way I can, energy wise, because I know the fans in the UK and the fans in the US are a bit different, and the way the teams work are a bit different.
I'm right.
Mark Ingram is one of my favorites.
Do you have an NFL team?
Weirdly enough, I'm a Broncos fan.
Oh man.
Oh no.
I know it's weird. But the first ever time I came to the US and saw football, it was, for some whatever reason, it was the Broncos, and then they won a Super Bowl, and I was like, okay, cool, guys, that's my team. Okay. And then now they're just, it's been a tough one. It's weird, because I don't really support NFL teams as much as I support, like, British, like, Premier League teams. I'm a big Arsenal guy, which is also not good.
It's not where you're not winning any arts here.
It's not where I want to be. Arsenal is just, every year.
It's a tough team to root for.
Everyone was Wenger out. Now we probably should have kept him.
Yeah, should have kept him.
Should have kept him. It's been a tough few years with Arsenal, I can't lie.
And so, to wrap this all up, we've just got a bit of a more fun style question. So, if you're on a desert island for a year straight, you get to bring one of the following things with you for that year. So, what is the one meal that you are going to be bringing with you?
Spaghetti bolognese.
That's two now.
That's two for spaghetti bolognese.
Two for spag ball.
I'm the best bolognese cooker on this earth. I cook spaghetti bolognese for all my boys here.
That's big.
That's a claim.
I partner with a few football players. I cook bolognese for everyone. All the wide receivers, they live next door. My bolognese is top notch. I'm bringing that every time.
Okay.
So we had a guest on the other day, Jay Jackson, who plays for Stuttgart Surge. Nice. And he spent about 5 minutes analysing what food groups would be in spaghetti bolognese, nutritional values, and that's why he said, I don't like spaghetti bolognese, but we'd be able to survive for a year. It was the best answer ever. It was so detailed.
Spaghetti bolognese tastes great. If you want a recipe, I can give it to you guys.
But yeah, I gotta get that from you. My favourite meal.
Please do.
Okay, second thing you get to bring, you've got one album for the entire 12 months.
One album?
Yep.
Oh, that's a tough one.
Yeah, man.
I'm going to have to say, do you know the Mad City album by Kendrick Lamar?
Yeah.
Oh,
yes. Yeah.
I feel like there's no bad songs. It would be between that or Dirty Sprite 2 by Future. Like, both of those albums, I have bangers on them only. I feel like I could re-listen to that.
Kendrick.
I would have said some Drake, but I feel like I would get bored of it.
Yeah, Good Kid, Mad City, solid bet. That's in my top two or three, album. I think, for this.
That's a great album. I will take that album for sure.
Third thing you get to have with you, if you've got one celebrity with you. They can be dead or alive, but they are alive on the island.
One celebrity? Megan Fox. Mommy Megan Fox.
Finally, someone said a
Megan
woman.
Fox. Everyone else like, let me get Barack Obama or something like that.
No, we had Tom Brady.
Mommy Megan, you had Tom Brady. What? I'm like, for a year? Why is Megan Fox? That's an easy question. That's so easy.
Did you listen to what I said about Tom Brady? I said, that's going to be the most boring year. You've got to talk to Tom Brady for a year.
A year? Megan Fox.
I don't think Tom will be leaving the island.
Megan Fox.
Running. Okay, I think I know the answer for this one, but you get to watch one sports team for the year.
Arsenal. I watch Arsenal for the year.
Why not talk to yourself?
It's going to be a painful year. Do I get to watch Arsenal TV afterwards if I watch the games?
That's true.
You get
that's
true.
Keep me entertained.
And then fifth one, aside from water, which you've got, you get to bring one drink.
One drink? It sounds weird. I'm a huge fan of orange juice. I would just have an unlimited supply of orange juice.
OJ for OJ.
All the time. OJ for OJ, right? That's literally what... gets called out all the time. I'll literally just bring a big OJ can or barrel with me and have it just on constant. I don't know.
But yeah, I mean, that's all the questions we have for you. Thank you so much for coming on.
Oh, no, thank you for having me. I'm incredibly, incredibly happy to be here.
Is there anything you want to shout out? Any socials you want to shout out? Anything like that?
I mean, if you guys want to get me on socials, I'm SamOJ97 on Instagram or Samuel Oran Jones on Twitter. I want to say a big thank you to you guys, what you guys are doing for the UK, and like having guys on that have moved on from the UK and maybe showing some of the younger guys what they can do. If anyone's in the UK and I want to go and play college football after I played in the UK, it's definitely possible. You have to get yourself on the ground here in the US. It's incredibly important to do that. That would be my best piece of advice to some people that want to go and do something similar to myself, come play here in the US, would be just to get yourself on the ground. And be lucky enough to go to Durham. If you can go to Durham, they're a great team. Coach Jay Rooney is my guy. Coach Ketch.
That's what we're all about. So that's so good to hear you say that. But yeah, I mean, we wish you nothing but the best for your upcoming season. Mm-hmm. We'll be following you closely.
Thank you very much.
We absolutely hope nothing but the best for you moving on from that as well.
Well, thank you very much. No, I thoroughly appreciate it, lads. Honestly, thank you for your time.
Well, that was our interview with OJ. I don't know about you guys. I really enjoyed speaking to him. Lovely guy. That's all for us for today. So if you do want to check us out on all our social medias, which are Joe.
Yes. Our Twitter and Instagram is at @TAFS_UK. And our Facebook is That American Football Show.
If you're not watching us on the YouTube already, we do have a lovely new YouTube that Craig's getting all our podcasts and videos out on. So check us out, That American Football Show. Again, please leave us any feedback. Give us ratings on how you think we're doing and let us know what you'd like to hear from us going forward. We've got more players to come from around the world, around the leagues. But thank you everyone for listening. Make sure you head over and check out our friends at EP Sports for all your NFL and equipment needs. And we will see you next week. Ting!
Yeah, boy!